Picture a wrought iron bed, half of it covered with beautiful red roses, the other half nails facing up. Or picture a bronze sculpture of the crucifixion, the frail, familiar figure, arms wide upon a cross. But wait a minute, is that a woman? Now see paintings that recall pop artist Roy Lichtenstein or Magritte, wildly colorful flowers, but why are the human figures in black and white, the flowers in color? Because this is the work of Edwina Sands. She plays with the space where art isn't. There's a marble statue of a woman next to her, the block she was cut out of, as if she'd just escaped. Edwina's new book is part memoir, an especially interesting one since the first painter she ever saw at work was her grandfather, Winston Churchill. She joins us now. Edwina, nice to speak with you again.
Nice to speak with you, Robin.
Beautiful book. And what I love about your life story is that you were on track to be a politician's wife or a politician yourself. Your then-husband, Piers Dixon, the son of the British ambassador to France, was elected to Parliament. You campaigned for him, a dutiful wife. Then you wanted to run for yourself in the late 60s, but his party lawmakers told you, no, you can't?
They said, but we chose him mostly or partly because of you, because we only looked at married couples and we chose you as a pair. And if you don't come and do this, we may not keep him.
But then in 1970, there was a divorce. And this artist emerges. I mean, a full-fledged, not just someone sketching as you'd had it a child, but a full-fledged. I mean, all this. I mentioned some of the pieces. There was Krista. That's the 1975 bronze of a female on a cross. It caused a scandal. Later, 2003, the marriage bed piece. This is the bed that's half roses, half nails. Get it? Bed of roses, bed of nails. And your launch as an artist was in the 70s. So I'm wondering, this coincided with the women's movement. Obviously, that's such a part of what you want to say in your work.
Yes. The women's movement was sort of coming to London in a little bit of a light way, women's lib light, I would say, in those days. People didn't ask in London, what do you do? If you were a married woman, they knew what you did. You were helping your husband. But on the other hand, if you were doing something, you could say so. I had some American women friends who probably shaped me quite a lot. They were also direct, and they were also, they knew what they were doing. And I could see that was another way.
And women make appearances in so many of your pieces. I'm looking at one now, Mascara. There's one arm of the woman coming up from the pedestal she's on, and then there's her head balanced on another arm, no body, but in her one hand a mascara brush and her other a mirror. She's putting on mascara.
What I really like doing is trying to find the essence of the character or the action that the character's making. And in this case, this is a personal moment that a woman has, and I tried to portray that without any of the other clutter.
Right. And talk about that allowing there to be space. I mean, in this case, there's just no body. It's just these floating arms. And then there's the piece Breakthrough. This is 8 huge slabs of the Berlin Wall. In the book, you tell how you and your current husband, Richard Kaplan, negotiated getting those huge slabs out of Germany after the wall fell. But then what you did with them is that you cut human shapes out of the wall.
When I realized I could get a decent size amount, 32 foot of the Berlin Wall, I had already got a plan what to do with it. And how could I portray freedom? Freedom being the point that I wanted to, and the fact that people had broken through the wall and started a new life. So I thought, in order to have freedom, you have unfreedom, which is the wall, the barrier between you. And then I cut out 2 spaces, portals, if you like, that not just any old spaces. I shaped them, one as an abstract woman and one as an abstract man, because it wasn't just that the wall tumbled down and bits were open. It was people who all those years tried to leap over the wall, and it was people that in the end managed to really get it to fall down without any further violence.
Yeah. Well, you say you had an idea where you wanted to put it. I'll say, because where you put it was at the Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, where your grandfather, Winston Churchill, made his famous Iron Curtain speech. There's now a museum there. And now this piece goes there. I mean, I know you are an artist in your own right, but how much are you then in that piece? Is your grandfather then in that piece because you made it, and now it's at that place, you know, a piece of the Iron Curtain is now where he made the Iron Curtain speech?
I think both true. The style and the way of doing it was part of something I'd been doing all along, but in a way, the Iron Curtain was physically embodied by the Berlin Wall when it went up. So when it went down, I naturally linked the two together. Now, somebody else, not a grandchild of Winston Churchill, might have had the same idea. But for me, it was personal, too, and I knew just where it should go.
And I guess, I'm saying that this is a case where your legacy is a part of the art. And I'm just wondering, is there anywhere else where you might see that? You said that you grew up watching your grandfather paint. Is there something of your legacy from him in your work?
Well, I think that the idea of seeing somebody paint, and my grandfather loved colors, and I love colors, and one of my favorite paintings he did was called Bottlescape, which is a series of bottles and decanters and cigars. And so one day I was invited by a cigar company to do either a painting or a sculpture for their boardrooms. And because it was cigars, I thought they would really like something with my grandfather. So I painted him looking out of a painting on the wall. He has no cigar in his mouth, but he's looking longingly at a table where his favorite cigars are open. And then lined up are also his favorite champagne, Paul Roger, and various other things that he enjoyed, some of the things. That was something I did specifically with him in mind and with some memories of childhood, lovely times at Christmas and all those family get-togethers.
Well, just, briefly, what was that like to grow up with Winston Churchill? Or is it you wouldn't know anything else?
Well, we wouldn't really know anything else, but we did know that some people, were very much in awe of him. But basically, when we were with him, it was family time, and he was a marvelous man in that he enjoyed the moments, and he did enjoy his holidays. Nowadays people don't, they dare not leave their job and take their holiday, their vacations, even if they're due to them, because they think they'll lose their job. But he took his holidays, and he lived and loved them with gusto.
You know what? That last line, that's what I would say of you. I met you briefly at a party in the Hudson River Valley area, and I would say one of the greatest forces to enter a room I've ever seen. And it shows up in your work, just all of this life and freedom.
Well, I think what we all have to do is to be successful in anything, whether it's a little thing or a big thing, is to try to be yourself and put your own stamp on whatever you do to let your personality come through and not to shut it up in a box.
Yeah. Artist Edwina Sands. Her new book is Edwina Sands Art, with text by Carolyn Seebohm, forward from Anthony Hayden Guest. Edwina, thank you so much.
Thank you.